Good evening.
Good evening.
It's good to see you. We've been looking at 2 Timothy, and we know, as we have been told, really, this is Paul's last will and testament. Before, at some point, which he doesn't know, his life will be taken from him. We have been told that Simon mentioned that he was in prison. And as I was just preparing for this brief word, that we easily say he was in prison. And Simon mentioned the place where Paul was, and it was in the Mamertine prison. The title slide that's up there at this present moment, what you can see in Rome, if you've been to Rome, is the Roman Forum. The Forum was a place that had huge areas for dining. There was also areas for the garrison and so on and so forth. So it was quite a place, very elaborate. But amidst this forum, and obviously where the garrison, the soldiers, the prison keepers were, was this place called the Mamertine prison. Nowadays, if you go there, the outside of it is quite reasonable. It looks quite nice. And it's actually a museum. And if you go in through the front door, which is the best way to go, I suppose, really. So you go in through the front. The first level that you come to is a museum with artifacts. And I said the first level. You see, the next level doesn't go up. It goes down. And so as you walk in, and you have to pay about 10 euros to get in, you can go down a spiral staircase to the next lower floor, below ground. And as you go in there, there are individual cells on either side. That's not where Paul was, because there's another level below that, and it's actually a dungeon. And you go down another, as visitors, you can go down another spiral staircase and you come to this. Now, can I just say to you, the light enabling you to see the inside of this dungeon is an artificial light which has been erected for visitors to see. It's actually dark. It's dark, and the only light... You can see the hole in the ceiling. The hole in the ceiling, if we can just go to the next, has now a grill over it. But that only takes you up to the level of the cells, that floor down. There is a further hole above in the actual roof, which you can just see a dark space on the right-hand side. It's not directly lined up, it's just off, so that even the amount of light that will come through is very, very small. And it's in there. And the interesting thing they say is even in the summer, if you are down in that dungeon, it's cold. Could that be why in 2 Timothy 4:13, Paul says, when you come to visit, bring my cloak? I wonder if he was cold. I don't know. But this is it. But the whole reason for this is where he was writing. He was writing to Timothy in these conditions, having suffered so much. Do not be ashamed, he says. There are many illustrations about being ashamed. Usually of a child of their father. One I read the other day was a girl had moved into senior school. She was about 13. She knew her father had got a new job, but what she didn't know is that he was a janitor or cleaner. And little did she know, he was actually a cleaner at her school. And she was with her friends, and they were all together in the refectory, the cafeteria. And someone tipped up a tray, and it went on the floor. And one head teacher turned and shouted almost, that's what the story says, shouted this man's name to come and clear it up. And everyone was laughing at him like this. And some of the girls turned to him and said to this girl, said, "Did you notice that cleaner's got the same surname as you? Do you know him?" And she says, "No. No, I don't." 25, 30 years later, she was still suffering for that admission of non-recognition, the fact that she was ashamed of her father. He unfortunately developed, this is a true story, but Alzheimer's, and she was at his bedside, and she just burst into tears, and her mother came in and said, what's the matter? And she confessed what had been heavy on her heart for all those years, you know. And her mother turned to her and said, "Your father knew what you had done, but loved you even more." Paul here is saying to Timothy three things in these verses. I've been blessed, thank you very much, Pastor, for this, because the portions that I've got speak for themselves. I don't need to add to them. Maybe I can just highlight some things that can really catch our hearts. Paul tells Timothy three things. Firstly, he says, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, and don't be ashamed of me. I suppose if we were associated with someone in prison, we may be a little reticent to bring that out in public. You know, oh, he's associated with that. No. He said, don't, and nor me as well. But here was a man who said, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verses 9 and 10, he then goes on to say the reasons why he should not be ashamed. And then in the final two verses that we had read to us, Paul admits, well, I am not ashamed. What I'm telling you to do, I am not ashamed of this testimony. I am not ashamed that I am having to suffer. And I have suffered in my life. Yeah, and you remember how in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, dangers in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst without food, in cold and exposure. He knew what it was to suffer for the Lord. He knew what it was. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. I'm sure we've all been ashamed of some things that we have done in the past. I certainly have. But Paul is telling Timothy to stand with Christ. No matter what the opposition should be faced. We stand on the solid rock. We don't stand on a ball where we're trying to balance. We stand on the one who is that solid rock. And the reasons that Paul gives here why we shouldn't be ashamed are what we heard this morning. It's the old, old story, isn't it? It's the old, old story. We've been saved by his grace. We shouldn't be ashamed because our Lord defeated death. We shouldn't be ashamed, for the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who will bring us home. Eternal life, eternal hope, to be forever with the Lord. These are the things that Paul is saying. He's saying, have your confidence in Christ and in Christ alone. And for all of us, no matter what the circumstances, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, he says. This is Paul. I am not ashamed in, well, the prison's gone, in the dungeon. I'm not ashamed. And in fact, I am convinced, I am persuaded, I am absolute in my thought, this is truth, that he is able to guard which that which I have entrusted to him unto that day. Paul is saying my only confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. His confidence wasn't in his life. Paul's confidence wasn't in his ministry. It wasn't based on circumstance, because that would be dreadful. We wouldn't know if it was a real roller coaster ride. That's not where my confidence lies, he says. I am convinced, I am persuaded, I know absolutely, because that's what it means in the Greek. It's an absolute fact. My confidence is in Christ. In a moment, we're going to sing our final hymn. And in that hymn, I do apologize, it has five verses and choruses. But it's a Daniel Whittle hymn that was actually written over 100 years ago. And really, he just states how I feel Paul must have felt. And I think he certainly states how I feel. Because there are times I stand here and I feel so inadequate in my knowledge. I said that last week when I was preaching as well. But there is so much more to learn. But he said in this particular old hymn, things that he didn't know. And he said, I don't know why God's wondrous grace to me has been made known. Why me? And I don't know why, unworthy as I am, Christ loved me and redeemed me for his own. I don't know. He says, I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. I don't know, he says. I don't know how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the word, creating faith in him. I don't know what of good or ill, and Paul could have said this, couldn't he, may be reserved for me, weary ways, golden days before thy face I see. And then finally he says, I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the vale with him. That's the valley of the shadow of death. Or meet him in the air. In other words, there were so many things he did not know. But with Paul, he said, there is one thing. I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. And Paul was saying exactly the same. He didn't know what the future held. He knew His life was about to be taken from him, but he didn't know when. But upon his heart were those of his ministry, the churches that he had planted, the people who would come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ long after him. That was upon his heart. And he knew that the truth of God's word is vital for each and every one of us. I pray that tonight that we can say with Paul, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep every promise that has been made in God's word. I know, and I'm not ashamed of the testimony, the gospel of my Lord Jesus Christ. May we each be able to say that this night. Amen.